Well, as we get into our passage today, I wanted to take a moment and share with you my process. Some of you may wonder, you know, how does Pastor George decide what he's going to preach on? How does he pick the books that he's going to do? And how does he, you know, well, it's really not that complicated. I pick books sometimes that people ask me to pick. And then once we start a book, we just kind of go through it week by week, verse by verse, passage by passage. And it's amazing. Sometimes God uses those things sometimes those passages are right where things need to be. And then other times you come to a passage and it's a little bit strange. Well, today's Mother's Day. And as I was looking in the book of Genesis, the next narrative that comes up is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't know how many moms really want to see two cities get destroyed on Mother's Day. So I called an audible. We're not going to completely leave the book of Genesis, but we are going to take some time to look at some biblically adjacent things that maybe aren't quite as heavy as what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that being said, we are, as we teach our Awana kids, we're going to learn to rightly handle the word of truth. So we're going to come back to these difficult passages and talk about them, because we don't just skip over things in the Bible because they're hard to talk about. We discuss them. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we're able to use the full counsel of the word of God. See, in our study of the book of Genesis, we're actually about to come to the account of the birth of Isaac. And we will see in a couple weeks that this is the moment that Sarah had dreamed about for many, many years. At 90 years old, she was about to become a mother for the very first time. The idea of being a mom at such an advanced age might not seem ideal for us, but for Sarah, this fulfilled God's promise to her and her husband, Abraham. And the Bible commends Sarah for the faith that she would show and the mom that she was about to become. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, we read this: "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." Sarah was faithful. Even though she got an extremely late start on motherhood, she proved herself to be a faithful and trusting mom. But Sarah is not the only faithful mom that we see in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to step away from the narrative of Genesis, and we'll get back there. And we're going to take some time and look at some of the incredible mothers that we meet in the pages of the Old Testament. Hopefully, we will learn some valuable lessons about genuine faith from them. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 and 7. And we're going to start with a mom that was filled with wisdom. If you have your Bibles, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, we read this: "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except for a small jar of olive oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left.'" 2 Kings tells the story of a widower whose husband and son of one of the prophets who served under Elijah. he had passed away and left her with very little money. Now, the Mosaic law prohibited her from filing bankruptcy, and there were no social services that were available for her or her children. She was left with no option but to offer her sons as the payment for her debts. But instead of trusting the norms of her time and giving her children over to settle her debts, this mom sought the counsel of God through Elisha the prophet. And what happened next is one of the most amazing miracles found anywhere in the Bible. Elisha tells this mom to go and to gather jars from all over the neighborhood. She has just a little bit of oil left, and she pours the oil in the jar and fills it to the brim. They bring the next jar, and that one's filled, and the one after that, and over and over and over again, God provides for her family. It's easy for us to see what God does through Elisha in this passage and forget that there was a mom who turned to the right place in her family's time of need. It's easy to focus on the miracle because it really is quite awesome. But the story begins with a mother who was in need. Instead of trying to take care of that need in her strength or just relying on what the world told her to do at that time, what did she do? The Bible tells us right away that she turned to the Lord. Remember, Elisha's not the one who sought her out, but the other way around. Because let's be honest, in times of need and desperation, people will do nearly anything for help. This woman had the wisdom to go to the one who could change her family's situation. She had incredible wisdom. Why? Because she turned to the right place. And the Bible has a lot to say about the value of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, we read this: "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed." This Old Testament mother chose the path of wisdom, didn't she? And what did she receive? Something far better than gold and silver. What do you think she would have preferred, to keep her children or to have wealth and riches? To keep her children. And that's exactly what she did. Why? Because she chose wisdom. The Bible tells us that we, not just moms, all of us can have wisdom as well. In James chapter 1, verse 5, we read this. James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. It will be given to him." Do you want to have wisdom like this mom in 2 Kings? The Bible says just ask for it. Come to God. God delights in giving his children wisdom. And wisdom, as we just read, has incredible value. There's an ancient Indian legend about a king who loved chess. He challenged visitors to a game nearly every time, and he was often victorious. One day, a traveling sage visited the palace and was challenged to a game by the king. To entice him to play, the king offered to give the sage whatever reward he asked if he won. When the king was defeated, to honor his word, he asked the sage what prize he would like. The sage asked for one grain of rice to be placed on the first square of the chessboard, and then be doubled on each following square. The king laughed, and he quickly agreed to the request. While the request seemed modest, and the king ordered the bag of rice to be brought, one grain was placed on the first square, two on the second, four on the third, eight on the fourth, and so it went. But it became quickly apparent that the terms of the request were nearly impossible to meet. By the 21st square, more than 1 million grains of rice would be required. By the 31st square, the total was over 1 billion, with more than half of the chessboard left to go. Wisdom had made the man incredibly wealthy. But wisdom is not the only virtue that we see demonstrated by these Old Testament mothers. Next, I want to look at a mom who chose to hope. The book of Exodus begins with the descendants of Abraham. We're not quite there yet, but Abraham does have a son, and his son has a son, and his sons have sons, and all of a sudden, Abraham becomes a great nation, and they move into the land of Egypt. And after 400 years of residing in the land of Egypt, the descendants of Abraham become slaves to the Egyptians. Despite Pharaoh's attempts to slow down the Hebrew population growth, more and more children are being born of the Jewish slaves. And Pharaoh began to fear that revolt was going to come from within his own country. As a result, he ordered that all the male Hebrew babies be killed. And the book of Hebrews tells us what Moses' mom did and how it changed a nation. If you have your Bibles, look at Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to put it up on the screen, but I want to share with you what the writer of Hebrews has to say about the faith and the hope of Moses' mom. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, we read this. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And when that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he was preserved because he saw him who was invisible. The Bible tells us that Jochebed, by the way, that's Moses' mom, chose to hope in the Lord, even though she lived in a time of fear and death. Think about this. You're raising a child or having a child in a culture that immediately wants to put your child to death. Not give you the choice, but if that child is discovered, will immediately be put to death. So what did Jochebed do? She didn't give up. She chose to hope. The Bible tells us that for 3 months, she hid her son in her own home. And when it got to the point that they could no longer hide baby Moses, she didn't put him in the hands of Pharaoh. She put him in the hands of God. She built a basket and placed her son in there and set it afloat in the Nile River, trusting that God would be at work in her child's life. And was he? Absolutely. We find out that Moses is discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. He's brought into her home, but before Moses is brought in, he's sent back to his birth mom so that she could wean him. And we find out from the book of Hebrews that during that time, she did not just prepare him for a life in Egypt, but she reminded Moses and taught Moses who he was. See, while Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh, he understood that he was a child of God. He understood who he was and what was happening to his people. And when the time came, even though Moses did not always handle it correctly, he chose to be identified with God
instead of being identified with the ways of the world. It's easy for us to feel overwhelmed by the difficulty of the life around us. We live in this life, we turn on the news, we see the struggle and the issue and the difficulty all around us. And it is easy for us to become discouraged. How much more for Jochebed? Living in a culture, in a country that wanted to exterminate her and her children. Yet she chose hope. Why? Because she understood who raises up kings and who brings their time to an end. She understood that God was sovereign over all things. And what's interesting is the Bible tells us that narratives like that of Jochebed are meant to give us hope. Let me show you what I mean. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. I tell you what, as a Bible interpreter, I love when the Bible tells us how to interpret the Bible. I'm not guessing of how I should understand it. This verse tells us exactly how we're supposed to read the narratives of the Bible. What does it say? That these passages were given to us to do what? To teach us. What are they teaching us? That we should have hope. Jochebed lived in a dark culture. And yet she chose to hope in the Lord. If God could take care of Jochebed and Moses, can he also take care of you? Well, that's what the Bible tells us. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. No matter how dark your situation is right now, God has promised you as a child of his, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that it does get better. In fact, there's going to come a day where you will look back at this and it will not be worthy to be compared to the glory and blessing that you are experiencing. In Romans 15, 13, we read this. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you're a mom that's a little overwhelmed right now. I've met a few of them. Hey, maybe you're a dad that's overwhelmed, or a grandpa that's overwhelmed, or an uncle who's overwhelmed, or just sitting here and life is heavy. Well, the Bible tells us to have hope. If Jochebed could have hope in that situation and see God provide for her son and see him become raised to be a man who knew and trusted God, he can work in our situation as well. The school system of a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the city's hospitals. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular classroom teacher. We're studying nouns and adverbs in class now, the regular teacher said, and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall behind when he returns. The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon, but no one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in a great deal of pain. Initially, she was upset at the sight of the boy. She stammered as she told him, I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs. When she left, she felt that she hadn't accomplished much. But the next day, the nurse asked her, what did you do to that boy? The teacher felt that she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. No, no, the nurse said. You don't understand what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy. But ever since yesterday, His whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's if he's decided to live. 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization. He expressed it this way. They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? A little bit of hope goes a long way. God desires us to be people who are filled with hope. Why? Because we live in a world that needs hope. And we serve a God who gives hope. So we can be filled with hope as well. But guess what? We're not done yet. There are more lessons to be learned from more amazing Old Testament moms, including a mom who kept her promise. How many of you have ever heard of Hannah? Yeah, Hannah from 1 Samuel chapter 1. See, Hannah was not able to have children, yet she continued to ask God to give her a child. One evening while she was sitting at the door of the temple at Shiloh, she made a vow to God. We find it in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. She said this, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Well, did God hear Hannah's prayer? You're good scholars of the Bible. Yeah. God heard her prayer and granted Hannah's request. And soon Samuel was born. Now, I've never made this particular request of God. Maybe there are some of you out there who have. But I got to imagine how easy it would have been for Hannah to forget the promise that she made to God. She had offered to give the son that she had prayed desperately for back to the Lord. There's got to be some part of Hannah that was like, now that I have this thing that I have desperately desired my whole life, I got to imagine there's a part of her that wanted to keep it for herself. Yet, Hannah keeps her word. Rather than pretending she had never made the promise to God, she affirmed her commitment and acknowledges God's faithfulness. Well, what was the result of Hannah's faithfulness? Well, because Hannah was trustworthy, she also had a son who was trustworthy. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 15 to 17, we read this about Samuel, not the infant Samuel, but Samuel the prophet and the man of God. It says this, Samuel continued to be Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there also he held court for Israel, and he built an altar to the Lord there. All the years of his life, even in his childhood, Samuel was faithful to God. He was obedient and trustworthy. And if you know anything about Israel's history, they didn't have a lot of leaders like that. Read the book of Judges. Read the time of the kings that came after them. Godly people who loved the Lord and taught their people to love the Lord were few and far between for the nation of Israel. Yet Samuel faithfully led Israel all the days of his life. Why? Because he, like his mother, was trustworthy. It's an incredible legacy to pass on to a child. And finally, let's end by looking at one last mom, and that's a mom who faithfully provided. We return to Kings, and we see another incredible work of God that was only allowed to happen because of one mom's amazing faithfulness. If you have your Bibles, flip over to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 16, and we're going to close with this incredible story. This is what God's word says. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he had came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and then die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word that the Lord had spoken by Elijah. You know what the most amazing part of this story is? I don't want to poo-poo the miracle here because it's pretty awesome. I remember as a child learning this story on the felt board in Sunday school. But as a parent, as someone who takes care of people, the fact that this mom had a little bit of water and a little bit of bread, and this guy that she had never met before comes and says, hey, I know you only got one piece of bread, but can I have it? The fact that she goes into the house, makes the bread, and brings it for him is the most incredible part of this entire story. And the question is, why does she do it? And the answer is, because she trusts in God. She was faithful to provide to God what it asked, even when it was the very last thing that she had. She didn't have to have an abundance to honor and glorify God. She gave whatever she had, and he was honored and glorified as well. On top of that, did God provide for this widow and her son? This faithful mother who gave out of what little she had, God still provided for. And guess what? Christ still makes these same promises to us today. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 33, Jesus says this, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you all need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Long before Jesus had made these promises, this mom in Zarephath provided for others because she trusted that God would provide for her. We can give abundantly because the Bible promises that we have a Savior who gives abundantly to us. Philippians chapter 4:19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible is filled with incredible examples of wisdom, of faith, of trust, of keeping our promises. These are examples from incredible moms in very difficult situations who choose to trust and obey God. And as a result, we see God work mightily in and through them. I need a helper. Is that, anybody bored and want to help? Sophia, come here. Sophia, you haven't come for a while. Come here. Come up here, Sophia. Sophia, as you're making your way up here, what do I have here? A glove. You know what this looks like. You helped out with the cleanup, right? So if I just take this glove and I have it right here, what can this glove do all by itself? Fall on the floor and do nothing. Yeah, that's a very good answer. Let's try that again. Yeah, this glove seems to have very little utility on its own, doesn't it? It just kind of falls to the ground and flops. Now, Sophia, what happens to this glove if you were to put your hand in it?
I could move it.
What does it do with your hand in it? Now what can it do? It can move, it can flex, it can go up and down. Well, show us all the things you can do with a glove on your hand. I know, this is hard when they put you on the spot like this. You can bend it, you can twist it. All of a sudden, this glove has utility, has power, has meaning. What changed there, Sophia? Why can the glove do stuff now when it couldn't do it all on its own? Because you have your hand in it, yeah. There was something inside that glove that gave it the ability to do more than it could do on its own. Well, guess what? We have something inside of us. The Bible tells us that we are filled with the very Spirit of God. And when we trust and obey God, guess what? Not just moms, but all people can be filled and do incredible things. We looked at the example of four moms who did incredible things. Why? Not because they weren't wonderful people on their own. I'm sure they were. But they were filled with something even greater. The love, the encouragement, the hope that comes with knowing the Lord. Thank you, Sophia. You did a great job. You can keep that glove if you want. Yeah, you can hold on to it forever. So you will always remember this moment. Hey, good day. Give Sophia a hand. She did great. One of the great blessings is we are known and filled by God. And as a result, we can encourage and fill others. As Denise shared earlier, the ministry of Cape Hope is filling up the lives of other people. Why can Denise do that? Because she herself has been filled with the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. So she can fill others with love and mercy. We've seen what happens with people who have been filled with the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this Mother's Day, not just you moms, but for all of us, to go and fill others as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for these incredible examples that the Bible itself tells us these narratives, these lessons that we learned are here for our edification so that we may be filled with hope. And with that hope, we may help others to find it as well. So, Lord, I thank you for the incredible mothers that we've looked at here in your word. I thank you for the incredible mothers that are here with us today. And I pray that each of us would be filled with your Spirit and be about the work of your kingdom. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.